Good morning. Welcome to the Community Connection. I'm Tom Levine, and in the studio with me today, I have the Reverend Nathan Jeffries, right?
Nope. I'm not Reverend yet. I'm working on it.
You're just pastor. Reverend.
Yes.
You're pastor,
pastor
Nathan Jeffries. Okay. From the First United Methodist Church in Fairfield. You've just moved in, huh?
Yep. Well, okay. Sort of.
Sort of. All right. And how are things going so far?
They're keeping me busy.
What do you think about Fairfield?
It's a fun little town. It's got a lot of potential, and it'd be fun to see what happens with the whole change of the factory not being here anymore and where we go from here.
Oh, okay. All right. And we're going to find out all about you today here on the Community Connection, because it is Meet Your Neighbor Day. And so thanks for coming out.
No
first
problem.
Off. All right. And we'll get into that and a whole lot more in just a few moments. So stay tuned here to the Community Connection.
Here's Dave Ramsey with today's Ramsey Reality Check.
The people that decide to take control of areas of their life, and they decide way deep down in their decider, not a drive-by, not a passing fancy, but way down in your decider, you decide. When you decide to do that, you can get out of debt, you can get on a budget, you can get your baby step four going into your 401k and be on a track to be an everyday millionaire. The first step in your journey begins by tuning in to your home for the Dave Ramsey Show in Fairfield, WFIW AM 1390 and 103.3 FM.
We are back on the Community Connection. It's Meet Your Neighbor Day, and we are meeting Nathan Jeffries from the First United Methodist Church. You're the pastor there, the new pastor there. So when did you start?
I started July 1st.
Okay. All right. So let's find out more about you. Where were you born?
I was born in Memphis, Missouri.
Memphis, Missouri?
Yes.
Okay.
It's up on the Iowa border.
Oh, okay.
I had a tiny little hospital up there, and according to what I've heard, they brought in nurses and doctors from 20 to 50 miles away.
Oh, okay. All right. So you grew up there in Memphis?
No.
No.
I lived there for a whole 6 months.
Oh, okay.
My parents are both clergy.
Oh, okay.
And in my lifetime, in the state of Missouri, we lived in 8 different parsonages.
Oh, okay.
I like to say, if you count the idea that the entire family serves a church, not just the pastor themselves, I'm currently serving my 36th church.
Okay. So what was that like? Were you moving like every couple of years? Or?
Sometimes yes, sometimes no. There were a few times where we got into 2-year cycles, but there was one time we stayed in one place for 8 years and another one for 5. Never knew from one to the next.
So how was that in school for you?
For me, it wasn't bad. Okay. Until my last year. We did end up moving before my senior year in high school. But that was the hard part for me. My brother had it a lot worse, though.
Oh.
Because every single school system is set up slightly different.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that it worked out for him, he was in elementary school for 4th grade, junior high for 5th grade, and then we moved, so he was back in elementary school for 6th grade, high school for 7th grade, then we moved again, he was in middle school for 8th grade, a separate school for 9th grade, we moved again, and he finally got into 10th grade, finally in high school.
Wow. That's impressive. I guess it would be hard to keep track of all that.
Yeah.
So you have a brother.
I do.
Do you have any other siblings?
No, just the one brother, and he's 6 years younger than me.
Oh, okay. So did you have any favorite classes in school?
Music was my major thing.
Oh, okay.
Especially band and choir.
All right.
But those were the ones. I was really good at math when I was in elementary school, but lost the interest in it by the time I got into the end of junior high.
Okay. All right. Music took over. What instrument did you play?
I was percussion.
Percussion, okay.
Yep.
All right. And you still play an instrument?
I do have a bunch of hand drums around, and I from time to time will tap out some piano chords.
Oh, okay. All right. So I understand this because I had a lot of different junior high schools and grade schools. Tell people what it's like to have a different grade school almost year.
Well, for me, I was able to do, I had kindergarten through half of 4th grade. before, and it was in the middle of fourth grade that we had our first move that I remember.
Okay.
And that one was hard for me because I had nothing to go on, no memories to go on, and I just had to go on the idea that we had Christmas break, and when I left for Christmas break, I was saying goodbye to all my friends.
Oh, okay.
And then starting a new school when I got, when they
meeting
started
all
again.
New friends.
Yep. And then it also didn't help that we moved in during a blizzard, so that school year started late for me.
Okay.
But my parents always did a very good job on acclimating us to the school and helping us to understand what was going on, because they'd always visit the school before we did mm-hmm. and get to know what was going on and talk to the teacher and all that neat stuff. And I still remember my mom coming home and telling me that when they went to visit the new fourth grade class, the teacher took her out into the hall, and my mom could still hear all the girls in the classroom going, "I wonder if he's cute. I wonder if he's cute." So, but
okay.
But no, it was always difficult, but meeting new people has always been one of my strengths.
And oh, okay.
So
all right.
It's been a very helpful ability to have.
Okay. Did so then how about your high school career? What was that like?
High school, I was in the same school from 7th grade through 11th grade.
Okay.
And that's the school that I consider mostly my hometown more than anything else. It was Monroe City, Missouri.
Oh, okay.
Just outside of Hannibal. And that's where I had the most memories. I had a great group of friends there.
Mm-hmm.
Along with that, the school was very supportive. And I had lots of different band directors. They were in the process of figuring out, hiring a new one and figuring out where they wanted to go.
Right.
But no, it was a really fun time for me. And it was actually, they helped to foster my love of the arts.
Oh, okay.
More than anything else, to the extent that they nominated me to go for vocal music to the Missouri Fine Arts Academy.
Oh.
And I got to go there between my junior and senior year.
Cool.
And the funny part there was the idea is that you go to it, you learn a whole bunch of stuff about how the arts can interact with each other and how they can work with each other, and you learn more about your specific one, and then you're supposed to go back to your high school and teach them.
Right.
My family moved while I was there. So a whole new school that had never sent anybody got me instead.
But were you able to teach?
I was, actually.
Okay.
Yeah, no, that's...
Were they appreciative of the knowledge coming in?
In many ways, yes, because the school that I was at was a very small school, and they hired a band director to be the band director and the choir director, so she did not have the choir background. And so I came in with a wealth of knowledge that I'd learned about different techniques they could try and different warm-ups and all this other stuff.
Oh, okay.
So it worked out very well.
Cool. All right. So did you have any favorite classes besides band and chorus in high school?
It all depended on the teacher, truth be told.
It always does,
doesn't it? Yeah. Because, again, I was really good with math and science and all that, but I had a few bad math and science teachers. So in junior high, it was social studies was what I enjoyed. And then when I got to high school, I went back to science for a little bit and then social studies for some other times.
Okay. And did you, in high school, did you have any idea what you wanted to be when you grew up?
I did, but it didn't go that way.
Oh, okay. So what did you want to be?
I felt the call to ministry just before ninth grade.
Okay.
I knew I was going to be called into some sort of ministry.
All right.
And I had hoped it was going to be some sort of youth ministry at that point.
Mm-hmm.
I was involved in our conference council on youth ministries, which helped plan youth events for the entire state of Missouri.
Okay.
And so I really enjoyed that, but I wasn't quite sure if that was where I wanted to go. And then the summer between freshman and sophomore years, had the opportunity to join the Bishop's Ambassadorial Choir, which was set up to help with fostering and growing the connection that we had between the Missouri Conference and the Mozambique Conference.
Oh, okay.
So I got to travel to South Africa and Mozambique, and all I had to do was sing for it. But as you can probably guess, that had a great effect on my life, especially at such a young age. And so from that point on, I knew what I wanted to do was I wanted to seek out ordination as a deacon, which in the United Methodist Church is an order that focuses on bridging the gap between the church and the world. And they have a little bit more freedom than elders do to choose where they get to go.
Okay.
I was going to go for that. I was going to go to undergrad to work on African studies or international relations. And I was going to go to seminary to work on youth ministry, so I could do youth ministry to pay the bills and do as much mission work as I could in Africa.
Oh, okay.
Well, then I got to college, and after failing French twice,
oops,
I realized my ability to learn new languages in full was not going to be the best.
Oh.
And if you can't learn a good new language, Africa's probably not the best fit for you.
Right.
Since there's a good 1,000 different languages just in Mozambique, let alone the rest of the continent.
Yeah. But let me ask you this. Traveling to Africa at such a young age.
Yes.
What was that like?
It was amazing. And I got to see parts of the world that most people don't get to see and got to truly experience. I got to see what true poverty actually looks like.
Mm-hmm.
I got to see what distinguishes upper class from lower class in a much more visceral way than you do just growing up in the United States, especially because we were there in 2002. So that was only 11 years after apartheid ended in South Africa. And so we got to see the museums, we got to see the churches, we got to see the effects that it's still having on their world there. And it really affected me because there is no middle class in South Africa.
Okay.
There is the poor and there is the rich. And it got to such an extent that they had to pass a law that said if a structure has four walls and a solid roof, then you could not be asked to move. And so people would go to sleep at night and they'd wake up and there would be this building with a tin roof and cloth walls in their front yard and they couldn't ask them to move.
Oh my.
And so what that led to is people started building walls around their house, their properties.
Right.
Which then they would climb the walls. So now the walls are all covered with barbed wire or razor wire or electric fencing.
Mm-hmm.
And so it really does distinguish even more the huge difference between the poor and the rich.
Right.
And there was one area that we went to visit called the Soweto.
Right.
That is just all these makeshift buildings for thousands of houses all together.
The poorest poor.
The poorest of the poor all living together because they started, one of them started on another person's property, that person moved away, and they just started expanding until they got to this giant, essentially tent city.
Wow. Okay, we are talking to Pastor Nathan Jeffries from the First United Methodist Church on Meet Your Neighbor, and we will talk more in just a few moments.
Join us each weekday and on Saturday mornings as well for the latest on the local auction scene. Auction Time informs you of the unique items on the block. We give you the headline items during the week and then actually get into the details with area auctioneers as part of our Saturday program. That's Auction Time, weekdays at 7:50 a.m. and then again on Saturday morning after the 8 o'clock news on the station listened to, not just heard, WFIW and WFIWradio.com.
We are back on the Community Connection. It's Meet Your Neighbor Day, and we are talking to Nathan Jeffries from the First United Methodist Church in Fairfield. And so we've been talking about your high school career. In high school, you got to go to South Africa And so what was the most, what was the one thing you wanted to see in Africa that, that you did get to see?
That I did get to see?
Yeah.
Well, we did get to go on safari.
Oh, okay.
That was a big one for me. So I got to ride in the jeeps, and we had lions walking within arm's length of us. But truth be told, the greatest experience I had there, I was not expecting.
Okay.
We were told beforehand that in three times throughout the trip, we would split off into pairs and go with local families to experience their life.
Okay.
And while we were in Johannesburg, one of my good friends and I ended up with this couple. And they took us to a place called Lions Park. And nobody else in our trip got to experience this. But Lions Park, just outside of Johannesburg, it has all sorts of baby animals all over the place. We got to see warthogs and cheetahs really close by in small little cages. Mm-hmm. But they also had a large cage filled with lion cubs. And we actually got to go in and play with the lion cubs. And so nobody else got to experience that.
Awesome. Okay. All right. So... So then your senior year comes along, and where do you go after high school?
After high school, I went to Hendricks College, which is a Methodist school down in Arkansas.
Oh, okay.
My mom sent out a request my junior year during our Christmas newsletter asking if anybody knew of a good United Methodist school with a Preacher's Kids scholarship, an international relations program, a strong music program, and a swim team.
Okay.
And somebody came back with an option for us.
Surprising.
Yeah.
There is.
And I never thought of Arkansas before. It's one of those things when you're growing up, and even if you're not growing up, we have a tendency in the United States to look down on whatever state is just south of us.
Right.
And for Missourians, that was Arkansas. Uh-huh. So I never thought I'd be in Arkansas for anything. But lo and behold, I fell in love with the school when I first visited. And they had great programs. They had a, it is the best academic school in Arkansas.
Okay.
Last I heard, 75% of all medical doctors in the state of Arkansas were Hendricks grads.
Wow.
So it's... It really does have a wonderful reputation down there, but nobody's heard about it outside right. of the state. But if you go anywhere in Arkansas, they'll know exactly what I'm talking about.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, I went there, initially signed up for international relations and global studies, and with a minor in music.
Mm-hmm.
And then I failed French the first time, which then meant I didn't have time to get in my 2 years of studying a foreign language and going to study abroad, which is required for the degree.
Okay.
So I decided to take one of their minors. They had an African studies minor, mm-hmm. and turn it into a major for myself.
Okay.
But that still required me to take French. So I went back and ended up having to drop it at the same time of the year. It just was not clicking for me.
Okay.
And so it was then that I realized Africa's probably not the best fit for me.
All right.
And so my music major became, my music minor became my music major.
Okay.
And that's what I graduated with.
Oh,
I was a vocal music major, performance major.
Oh. All right. So from college, where were you called first?
Well, in the United Methodist Church, it's not a call system.
Oh, okay.
We're an appointed system, kind of like the Catholic Church is.
All right.
But I had to go to seminary first.
Okay.
And so I spent 4 years up in Chicago at Garrett Evangelical Theological Seminary.
Completely different than Arkansas.
Yes. I like telling folks, I have pushed wheelchairs in 100-degree Arkansas heat, and I have survived Snowmageddon in Chicago. Nobody can complain to me about being hot or too cold. But yeah, I went to seminary, and I was originally, once I got there, thinking about music ministry as my main focus.
Right.
And was going to be still going for deacon as my ordination track. And so I was there for 4 years, and in my third year, I took a preaching course and found out I did have the call to preach. I didn't think I did, but
But if you would have never tried it, you would have never known.
Well, it was a requirement to try it. So, yeah. And I realized after that I had the leadership abilities, my work in trying to become a youth pastor, my work in doing music ministry, all kind of worked together into a call to actually become what's known as an elder in the United Methodist Church.
Okay.
Which is what most people think of when they think of an ordained pastor.
Okay.
As an elder. But I did my best when I finished high school not to follow in my parents' footsteps. And when all was said and done, all three of us were music majors, all three of us went to Garrett, all three of us went for elder, and all three of us met our spouse at Garrett.
Oh, okay. Yeah, when you say you're not going to do something.
Yeah.
All right, so you met your spouse there?
Yes.
All right.
She is currently serving as the pastor up in Newton at Grace United Methodist and Kedron United Methodist.
Okay, and her name is?
Amy.
Amy. Okay. So what year did you meet her at seminary?
Well, she started my second year, but she had a boyfriend at the time.
Oh, okay.
And actually, no, she started my third year there. And I found out halfway through my fourth year that she had broken up with him.
Mm-hmm.
And so I gave them through Christmas to let the wounds heal. And I went up to one of our close friends afterwards and asked her if she thought Amy would be open for dating anybody now. And I thought she would just give me a straight up answer. And she said, well, maybe. And then she immediately got on Facebook Messenger and messaged Amy, would you be interested in dating Nathan?
Okay. All right. So do you have any kids?
Not yet, but not yet. We're hoping to soon.
Oh, okay.
Right now we just have fur babies, three cats and two basset hounds.
Oh. Basset hounds are the best, aren't they?
I never had dogs growing up, so it's still... Amy had dogs, I had cats, and so that's why our house is the way it is now.
Okay.
But they've definitely grown on me quite a bit.
Okay. All right. Out of seminary, where did you go?
Out of seminary, actually, during my last year in seminary, I served half-time at Danville First United Methodist.
Okay.
And once I finished seminary, and I stayed in Danville for a year after that, then Amy and I got married, and we moved to the St. Louis area because mm-hmm. she had an appointment there to do what's called clinical pastoral education, which
okay.
is very intense study to study not only your ministry but yourself. And so she had that going on for 9 months, so they appointed me to Brighton St. Paul United Methodist,
okay.
Which is just north of Alton.
Okay.
And from there, I went to West Salem and served at Zion United Methodist there. And 6 months ago, they added on to that one for me Enterprise and West United Methodist Churches just
right.
north of here. And then they appointed me here.
And now you're in Fairfield.
Yep.
Okay. So how are your first Sundays going?
They're going well.
All right.
It's been a very positive experience so far. They've been very supportive of the sermons that I've put forward, and I've been hearing a lot of people saying that they love what they're getting out of it. So
okay.
I'm enjoying it so far.
All right. Well, I have enjoyed getting to know you better.
Same here.
Thanks for coming in. And thanks for coming to Fairfield.
Yeah, thank you very much for having me.
All right, and that's going to do it for today here on the Community Connection.